This is the New Blue Review with Benji Shulman.
101.9 High FM. And as per usual on the Monday morning, we cross over to Dear South Africa and Rob Hutchinson to go find out what is going on in Parliament. Rob, how are you doing?
Very well in yourself, Benji.
I'm doing very, very well. Now, Rob, obviously, Parliament is I don't know if you can say no longer, that's not quite the right word, but no longer operating for the moment. And we're just looking at what has been achieved and what we should be looking out for. I see that despite the fact that they had 4 days left the last time we spoke, they managed to squeeze by those two bills that we have been talking about. The one is colloquially called the Spy Bill. And the other one was the Expropriation Act. Just maybe let's start off by saying where does it leave those two in terms of process going forward?
A spy bill, the General Intelligence Laws Amendment Bill, has, I think it's still sitting on the President's desk. It hasn't actually been assented into law yet, although it has been passed by National Assembly.
Was it passed by the NCOP? As well?
Not yet. It's actually still sitting with the NCOP. Chances are that they'll just pass it straight through to the President's desk without any amendments. I haven't heard of any complaints or any changes that have arisen from the NCOP discussions yet. So it'll probably go straight through to the President without any public consultation in that matter, and then it's up to him to assent it into law.
But now the NCOP, is it still operating even though Parliament has kind of risen for the end of the session?
Not as far as I know. And they might have one or two sessions if there are urgent matters, but other than that, no. It's all campaign time for the parties.
So how does it work then if we have this bill in front of the NCOP, but they can't sit, so they can't pass it? How does that operate in terms
they
of
might, they might call a special meeting.
Okay.
To cover that and along with other bills. I don't think they can show preference to any one particular bill. It might just come across as a bit of a political move or so, but they can call a general meeting and still continue as it were. Parliament officially dissolves on the 21st of May. So they can still operate up until then.
Okay, so that's a sort of a good thing to just sort of understand. But so effectively, there's not a lot of sessions, but the Parliament is still operating, so you can still get things that get done. In other words,
that's correct. Yeah.
Okay,
so the six Parliament or six democracy, whatever they call it, is officially dissolves on the 21st. Yeah.
Okay, so that's where things are sitting at the moment. I see that they have been bypassing some of the public participation. I saw some moaning this morning about a new bill to introduce visas, nomad visas, so that people can come from around the world and sort of spend a small amount of time in South Africa. And they promulgated the bill one day before public participation had ended, or the visa rather, not the bill. So sometimes it shows you that the departments are not paying attention to what they're supposed to be paying attention to, and it causes chaos because they're not taking into account inputs from the people who actually know, you know, what's going on in those sectors.
Yeah, that is. It's a major problem there, and lack of communication within the halls of Parliament between the Public Education Office and the Public Communication Office and the committees themselves. There does seem to be a bit of a disconnect. But the Constitution does state that the public must be involved in these matters. So if they pass something without adequate public participation, then it's always open to a court challenge by any South African organization or individual. But yeah, as you said, these things do go through. But they don't go through unnoticed. There's always somebody such as yourself or somebody else who might notice it and then bring it to the attention of a relevant person who can take action against that.
So let's look at some of the other policies that have been making the news and not making the news in this last parliamentary period. Another big one was the Land Court Act, which is a big deal. What's that all about?
Well, the Land Court Act was the Land Court Bill, and that's the Land Court Act. Was to introduce a specialized court to handle land claims and land restitution matters and that. It was initially set out to toe the line or explain Section 25 of the Constitution. Section 25, if you remember, was under review. There was quite a massive campaign and public outcry about amending Section 25 to cater for land expropriation without compensation. Section 25 handles everyone's right to land and property and so on. So the Land Court Act replaced the Land Claims Bill. They've instituted a land court, and that handles disputes, resolutions, trying to speed up the whole process of land claims and disputes, especially disputes amongst land claims. It doesn't amend Section 25. Section 25 still says there must be expropriation with compensation. However, in certain cases, according to the Land Court Act now and other acts, there can be an instance where zero compensation is involved. So they're very clever. They don't say without compensation. They now say with zero compensation. And then the land court is the opportunity for people to dispute the claims.
Well, I mean, it's a very interesting element because, of course, that's what's sitting on the president's desk. He hasn't signed it yet, I believe, but may very well do so.
He's actually approved it,
Benjamin. Has he approved that he signed it in?
Yeah, it was actually signed in, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, I hadn't picked that up. All right, Rob. So that's very interesting. So now they can do that. And what's very interesting is that it's not only restricted to land anymore. They're talking about property. So technically speaking, and again, this is a technical thing, but you could end up at the land court to deal with a claim. Let's say the government decided to expropriate your pension with zero compensation. That court would be a place where you would have to take that, because it's about property now, not just about land, even though it's a land court.
Yeah, well, that is the big debate that is going on here. And the Land Court Act specifically refers to land disputes and land restitution and land claims. Like I said, it replaces the Land Claims Court. Whether it can dispute property, well, we'll have to see on that one as well.
I'm sure there's going to be a lot of litigation around that particular act as well, because there were a lot of issues on that. So you heard it here first, unless you're more on top of the news than I am, but the president signing in that particular bill. We're talking to Rob Hutchinson today. He is from Dear South Africa, and he joins us every single week to talk about matters parliamentary. I am Benji Shulman, and this is 101.9 Chai FM.
This is the New Blue Review with Benji Shulman.
101.9 Chai FM. Now, Rob, we spoke just before the break about the fact that the president had signed in the Expropriation Act. There were a bunch of bills that were sitting on his desk. Did he take a broad pen and sign them all in, or is he just doing it one at a time? I mean, I'm thinking here about the NHI bill, which is also sitting on his desk. Did that get signed through as well?
No, luckily not. there's about, I think it's over 20 bills still sitting on his desk, which still need his signature. He seems to be struggling to find that pen that he said he was looking for. Must be great theft inside the Parliament of stationery. But anyway, no, he's signed the Judicial Matters Amendment Act, which is quite a good bill. And what it does is one of the main things that it does is it makes an offence of failing to prevent corrupt activities under the Prevention Combating of Corrupt Activities Act. So if a politician knows about corruption that's happening and doesn't report it, that's already taken care of. But this actually makes it an offence to failing to prevent corruption. So that's going to pose quite a few interesting cases and situations, I think, when for Ramaphosa himself, if he knows of corruption, fails to act against it, if corruption's reported to sections of government and they fail to act on it, then they can be held liable under this new Judicial Matters Amendment Act, which is good news, I think, for the country.
That is very, very interesting indeed. And tell me, these bills that the I keep going back to this, but if the president doesn't sign in a bill, then and we have an election, do they have to start the process off again, or can he sign it in after the election, or how does it work in terms of once it's sitting on the president's desk? I know he can send it back to parliament as well.
Yes, no, the chances are it would be sent back to parliament and the whole process started again.
Okay.
We saw that with the amendment to Section 25 for expropriation without compensation. It was sent back right halfway through the actual discovery process of it. And then, yeah, it can there, because parliament effectively dissolves. So if the president can also change, and he can send it back, yeah. And it can be easily challenged, even if it is signed in without due process.
Interesting. Now, lastly, just before we end, something which I think a lot of people are very invested in emotionally because of the heritage of our country with the wildlife that it has and that sort of thing. We have a report on the captive lion industry. What's going on there?
So Minister Barbara Creasy has put out a report. She's often talking about the captive lion industry, and she doesn't quite enjoy it. Not that any of us do. So she put out a report that's recommending exit options for those involved in the captive lion industry, ways for them to sterilize lions or destroy the actual bones that are collected and sold for medicinal purposes. They can all be destroyed now. But the conflict here that I see is, does it mean, is it an end to captive lion breeding? Especially when there's that mega landscapes wildlife plan, which we discussed a few weeks ago, which seems to promote growth within such industries. So on the one hand, we've got Minister Creasy saying, great, ending captive lion breeding, but introducing another policy in that wildlife plan which actually promotes it. So once again, we have a conflict within government.
Very, very interesting, and I'm sure we will be watching it. Carefully, Rob, as always, people can, even though Parliament is sort of coming to an end, a comment on ongoing campaigns at Dear South Africa. What have you got on the agenda that people can have a look at the moment?
There's a few things there. There's a tax bill which is coming out. Quite difficult to explain it, so, but I'm sure tax experts can have a look at it and have their say on it. There's the guidelines, the gender identity guidelines, which is we chatted about, I think, 2 weeks ago as well. That's open for comment now. That's quite a controversial campaign and a program that they're introducing to primary school and pre-primary schools as a training program so that teachers can educate kids into gender identity and so on. Well, which is, as I said, quite an eye opener there. But yeah, all of that is up there. I think that's the main one. There are a few others.
Always interesting, and lots of stuff that can be done and commented on. So go over to dearsouthafrica.co.za and send your regards while you do that to Rob Hutchinson, who joins us every single week and should join us again next week. Thank you so much, Rob, who brings us to the end of the show. Thank you to the whole team who puts the show together. We've got Avusi on the sound. We've got our producers. We've got Craig pushing all the big red buttons. And we've got a brand new studio, which has quite a nice view, even though it's a bit rainy today. Thank you to all of you who join us for the show every single week, and we'll be back again with you next week on the New Blue Review.